David, if you're listening in, man, welcome. I feel like I've seen your face before, so.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, I just happened to be driving, so I got the camera off.
Of course, man, no worries. No worries at all. Got some more folks trickling in. Kenny, what's going on, brother? Paul.
Now I'm talking. I'm doing okay, and I don't have my camera off on purpose, but it's obviously off.
No worries, man. If you're able to come on camera, great. If not, no worries. I'm definitely
Thanks.
not the tech master either, so we'll see how this PowerPoint slides sharing screen goes with everybody. Give it maybe another minute or two, and then we'll get started. Paul, what's up, buddy?
Take a break. Okay.
Ceiling, it looks like.
Fair. There we go. Got someone else coming in. Yeah, maybe one more minute. John, how are you, sir? If you can hear me. Still be loading in.
I'm good.
There we go.
Just got back
Good to
from
see
working
you.
out.
Love it. That's the only excuse to miss a call is if you're working out. No, I'm kidding.
Remember, oh, well, we're not going to step up. Oh, okay. We're doing an obstacle course. Oh, no.
Here comes Mons. There we go.
Say, I can definitely get a here one. Got the Bosu kind of dome one we could get. That's bigger.
There he is. What's up, Mons? How you doing, man?
Going on, gangsters?
Good to see you, man.
To see you too, bro.
It's been a minute. Life is crazy, but it's good to see you. Good to see all you
For
guys.
both of us. For all of us, probably. For all of us, probably.
Probably. Yeah. Cool. So I guess I'll go ahead and get started. I feel like I know close to everybody on the call. If not, apologies, brother. You look a little bit familiar, but your name is iPhone, so I just, I still want to acknowledge you and just say hello.
Oh. Oh.
So,
Hey, it's Chaz.
awesome. Okay. I'm obviously not Ben. I'm Coach Andrew. And a little bit more hair, a little bit less muscle. It's okay though. So, no cool accent, unfortunately, for this call. So, Greg and Gav and Dan and all the guys. But my goal with this call, gonna go through some slides and stuff like that. But since it's a little bit of a smaller call, I'll be straight up with you guys. I don't do the PowerPoint presentation too often, especially like sharing screen and being able to see and stuff like that. So I would love for it to be a little bit interactive. And most of the call is going to focus on strength and mobility. I know longevity is obviously something that's important and in a lot of facets, in my opinion, a little bit of a buzzword. And if I'm just being straight up and honest, like as a coach, if you are strong relatively across the board, and you have a good VO2 max, longevity wise, you're in a pretty good spot, right? So if you don't have injuries, if you're strong, if you're mobile, you're in a pretty good spot. And then we can obviously talk about some lifestyle stuff in regards to longevity. But most of this call, my goal for you guys is to have a little bit of a better understanding about strength. I think everyone on this call, kind of the second that you say strength, my brain goes to 1 to 5 reps and stuff like that. It's a little bit more nuanced than that. So some terms overlap each other. Programming looks a certain way. We got Rob coming in right now. Sweet. And then, excuse me, and then we'll talk a bit about mobility. So, both strength and mobility, if I'm being honest, like we could sit here and talk about all this stuff all day long from a variety of directions. But the mobility portion, I have specifically four mobility tests or drills that you guys can do. So whether if it's in the moment on this call, or if it's something that you just write down and complete later on and share with your coach, Eric, Paul, I will be following up with you guys. But yeah, so it's just something that's you guys can kind of action pretty quickly as well. Cool. Sweet. Good deal, Rob. No worries, man. Glad you're here. That being said, the very last thing before I kind of shift to some slides is I would love for you guys to kind of put in the chat between strength and mobility, if you have, between those two topics, if one of them currently is more of a priority or something that you're really focusing on. So I'll give you guys a second there. Tight hip flexors. Okay, mobility and recovery. Eric, yeah. Copy that. Okay. All right, let me see if I could pull these slides up. Let me see if I can share screen without everything collapsing here. Okay. I think I'm going to leave it just like this so that I can still see you guys. Are we cool with that? I think we're good with that, right? I'll condense it down just a little bit here. Okay. So for the portion for this call, movement intelligence, we've got Vamshi coming in. And like I said, primarily talking about strength and mobility here. So without kind of cheating and skipping ahead, I would love for you guys to type in a definition of what you think strength is. No wrong answers. People want to put it in the chat. No judgment, no wrong answers. You can even come off mute too. Like I'm, you know, anytime you guys can come off mute as well. Ability to move weight, moving weight from A to B. Fair. Okay. So just there's more than one definition, but essentially, strength, the maximal force of muscle or a group of muscles can generate against a resistance. So your ability to produce force, right? In a single effort, regardless of the time it takes to produce that force. Time is a key component there because as we start to bring time into the equation, we're then also including power, which is something that we'll briefly touch on here. If you guys know who this is, you get brownie points. Yeah, buddy.
Sergio Olivia.
That's Ronnie Coleman.
Oh, sorry. I'm on a really small screen.
No worries, brother. Okay, give me just one second here. Okay. Moving on to, there's going to be four different types of strength that I talk about on this call. There are a couple more that come to mind, but overall, I wanted to cover kind of the basis here. So the first one would be absolute strength. So you'll notice that for both of these here, this is kind of specific to body weight, but it can also be interchangeable with one that's coming up next as well. So absolute strength, the maximum force regardless of your body weight. And then once again, if you guys know who any of these fellas are, these photos are here on purpose. Brian Shaw, World's Strongest Man, good variety of times. Eddie Hall, from the UK as well. I believe this guy's, I know his first name is Nick. I don't know his last name. And this guy's name is Robert as well. But World's Strongest Men train a particular way. The definition of strength for them is going to be different, probably, than the definition of strength for us. And I'll kind of expand on that here in a little bit. But this is as it relates to body weight. So when you hear absolute strength, it is in comparison to your body weight. The second one here, relative strength. So maximal force relative to your body weight. Does anyone know who this gentleman is here for number two? I'm going to kind of share the so that I can see a few people's faces. No. No UFC fans on the call today? This is Mighty Mouse or Demetrius Johnson. Arguably one of the best mixed martial artists, but you can see he's obviously quite a bit smaller than this guy here. So I'll tell you guys something briefly. Probably most of you on this call don't know. I played Division I football, and there was a guy that I trained with. He was actually a twin brother. Both the brothers were on the team. And let me actually stop sharing just for a brief second so you guys can see me again. And he was probably 170 pounds. And it was the first time that I walked in a college weight room and saw somebody that was 170 pounds, and he was front squatting 335 for reps with the bar just whipping off of him up and down. So a guy that's 170 pounds that is that strong, in comparison, when you have that sort of a ratio, like when we're talking about these different categories of strength, World's Strongest Men, these guys are 300 pounds plus, but Taj being 170 pounds and then being able to lift, I don't know, 335 or more for reps and doing it quickly, that just shows you when you're kind of I'm trying to think of the right word, but your body weight compared to your strength level, your athleticism, being able to change direction, gymnast, you know, he was a defensive back, but obviously this guy was able to do a lot of dynamic things. And then that also then relates into sprinting and sprinters and being able to run fast. So the prerequisites are you got to have good mobility. If you're extremely strong and you're extremely lean in comparison to your body weight, so relative strength, you're extremely strong and you're on the lighter side, those turn out to be pretty good sprinters. So if you have great stride length, short contact time with the ground, and you can back squat near 500 pounds and you're a buck 70, you're probably pretty fast, right? You know, the World's Strongest Men could probably do the same thing. Mobility definitely looks different. Stride length looks different. Ground contact time definitely looks different. And it's also not specifically how they train. And their body weight difference is pretty significant. So that's why, even though potentially for a given exercise, someone might have the same level of strength, attributes, and your ability to produce force and display certain things, that's why it can look pretty different, right? I think for all of us on this call, we all want the mixture of everything, right? We want probably a little bit more muscle. We want to be as mobile as possible. And then we want to be as strong as we possibly can, right? And then it's a matter of being realistic, setting expectations, understanding your lifestyle, your specific needs and demands as an individual, as a boss, all these different things, right? Okay, I'm going to go back to sharing my screen now. I'll pause for a quick moment. Any questions, comments on the first two so far with absolute strength and relative strength? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. We got two more as it relates to strength here. Okay, going back to this here. You guys still see my screen okay? Can somebody give me a thumbs up? Cool. Thanks, Paul. Okay. Last thing, very quick, just because this always makes me laugh. So remembering number two, relative strength. And then one of my favorite quotes in fitness, I'm going to keep quizzing you guys. Does anybody know who this gentleman is right here? Sorry, John, if it's a small image for you. I'll give you guys a hint. West Side Barbell, powerlifting. So Louis Simmons, for anybody that doesn't know. And he had a quote that always would make me laugh, which is, "Strength is relative and you're not related to it." So he this guy purely cared about powerlifting, and that was what was most important to him. And so when you kind of mesh and intermingle all these different facets of fitness and everything else, like if we go back to the very first slide with Ronnie Coleman being a, you know, Ben would probably get mad at me for not knowing exactly how many 8 or 9 time Olympian winner or Olympia winner, excuse me. So bodybuilding, very specific training style typically for that. You look at these guys and their body type, you know, calorie consumption, style of training, odd objects, their level of strength. And then Mighty Mouse here, obviously pound for pound, the level of mobility and speed and skill that's required to knock people out and not get knocked out, right? And then where we're at here currently for number three, maximal strength. So power lifters, they're tested on the big three and they're not doing multiple reps. It's one rep, right? So maximal strength as a definition, peak force produced in a single voluntary contraction. Going down and going up. That's it. That's all that matters. So within the rules and whatever else, I would argue for a majority of the time, having such a wide stance the way that Louis does here, for most of us is maybe not the best idea. But if you want to move as much weight as possible, load the weight into your hips, load the weight into your pelvis, your hamstrings, your glutes. It's pretty smart strategy, right? So start to understand the different style of training and the outcomes that come with it. This is everyone's, you know, favorite one rep max conversation as it relates to strength. And then lastly, just for today, would be explosive strength. So, how quickly force can be produced and move in a particular direction. This gentleman, I'm forgetting his name at the moment, so I apologize. I think it's either Lasha or Sasha. And he set the world record for the both the clean and jerk and I believe the snatch at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. So can everyone for the most part see this fourth image right here? Yeah. Do you think that this requires a certain level of mobility to be able to maintain that front rack position and keep your hands fully underneath the bar and then be able to lift it over your head? Right? Yeah. So, which this kind of then leads into to the next portion, which is all these previous people that I mentioned are obviously strong and very talented and everything else. But the most intelligent thing that you can do as far as training is understand where you're currently at, what are the limitations that exist, and then train smart correctly around that, right? I don't think there's a single person on this call that hasn't either previously dealt with an injury or is currently dealing with an injury, right? Like something like getting nicked up or banged up and having something that's going on. But it also comes from years of training a particular way. So let me do this once again here. Then I'm going to pause. And then we're going to shift into the mobility portion after that. But as I want to kind of round everything out as it relates to strength if you guys have any questions or comments. Someone's got to give me something.
Hey, Andrew, I'll just jump off mute for a sec then. I listened to a really interesting series of podcasts on the Human Lab. I think it was with a guy, Dr. Andy Galpin, and they sort of described it as finding the balance. He kind of had it like levers. Like, some people want to be super maximal strong. Some people need, that speed. Some people need, like marathon cardio. But overall, they sort of describe, if any one of them is too out of whack, you're likely to develop sort of an imbalance. And they had a really interesting set of protocols, which was kind of like a guidance of like, you might want to be higher on your VO2 max, but if you can't do a single body weight squat, like you're going to develop an imbalance. And they had a really interesting series of protocols, which had some guidance over kind of by your age, some like warning signs. Like if you're below this level, like if your cardio is completely rubbish and all you do is strength, going to develop problems. If you're super strong, but you have no mobility. I thought that was a cool way of thinking about it. Kind of like you might want to over-index on one for a little bit, but if you neglect too many, you're going to develop imbalances.
100%. I'm sitting here laughing because there's a saying in coaching, and it both makes me laugh and it kind of infuriates me, but it's true, which the statement is never always do anything. So that's why everything kind of exists in this melting pot as far as fitness and coaching and training and everything else. But it is true, right? Like I briefly touched on my background of college football, and that's exactly it, right? Like we can kind of put labels on stuff, and we all have like our own expectation as far as strength and speed and athleticism and kind of our own definition of longevity. I think for the vast majority of us, it's as we get older, we want to be able to not have any limitation and be able to do all the things with our kids and our family, to be able to jump into any exercise and, might not be the strongest person in the room, but you can effectively train that exercise, train the right muscle, and not have to worry about it, right? Like that's kind of a goal for me. When you hear Ben talk, he's like, I want to be an athlete when I'm 80, kind of a broad statement. Obviously, he could get specific on it, but that requires, again, when you look at all of the different domains of fitness, whether if it's muscle building, if it's powerlifting, if it's a specific college sport or a rec league sport or anything like that, something that typically for a lot of people that is either missing or gets neglected, is any type of dynamic style of training, changing direction. CrossFit probably does the best job overall of kind of touching and hitting those points. John, I know. Do you still currently do CrossFit, John? Is that a kind of a variation of your training?
I've committed to doing bodybuilding right now. The feeling is that I shouldn't do CrossFit until we get the differential between the two sides down to under 10%. Otherwise, there's too big a risk of injury. So I'm really working on building muscle and strength around joints.
You had something not too long ago with your shoulder, am I right? Was that it?
Yeah, it was December. They had to reattach my supraspinatus in my left butt. It was a left supraspinatus, my left bicep.
Gotcha.
So I'm doing
Gotcha.
well. It's just it takes I'm using this year to really just work on my body and body build.
Cool. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like it's some of the stuff, it's not a sexy answer when it comes to if mobility in any particular direction or range of motion for exercise, if we're limited somewhere, that needs to be like our own personal cool down focus, stuff that we're doing a little bit on our downtime. And for a lot of us, T-spine mobility, your shoulders, being able to do stuff overhead, that stuff starts to come up. I mean, I was 22 and I partially tore my labrum in my shoulder going into my last year of college football. And I went to the doctor and the guy said, we could do surgery and you're out for 6 months, or you could try to play through it. And so I had to Snatching was no longer a part of my training. The majority of overhead pressing was out, and I wasn't training. I wasn't bench pressing with a barbell. I was doing stuff with dumbbells so that I can kind of modify and train a position that I can still test and produce strength, but not make things worse in regards to my shoulder, right? That's more of kind of a worst case scenario, right? But that's what I mean as far as training in a smart way.
And as you'd expect, Greg's doing a great job with me.
Yeah, no doubt. Greg's awesome. Greg's awesome. I could try to impersonate him, but it wouldn't be great. I could throw in to be fair every once in a while, but I don't think it would catch. Wouldn't hit the same. Cool. Okay, let's shift to the mobility portion now. I don't know if everybody was on the call when I mentioned this, but I have four. Once again, there's so many mobility drills and tests and things that you guys can all do. But for the sake of this call and respecting your guys' time, and I also like I my goal is I don't want to just talk monotone and present something to you guys the whole time. But with the mobility portion, I picked one related to the spine, one for the shoulders, one for the hips, and one for the ankles, as far as self-administered tests. And all of these tests you can do on your own, film them and be able to either see for yourself or also share with your coach if you'd like to. So, stepping into the mobility portion. Can anybody tell me their definition of mobility? I'll even kind of add on a second part to that is what is the difference between mobility and flexibility? Nobody knows. The ability to move a joint through its full range of motion with control and stability. This is probably not going to be new information for you guys, but this is probably one of the most key words that you will constantly hear in fitness, and one of the quickest things that I will point out with somebody, and I know they're a novice when it comes to training, is they don't look stable when they're going through an exercise, right? Can't fire a cannon out of a canoe, look like a Bambi on ice because people aren't stable. Okay. And then when we're talking about the difference between mobility and flexibility, to keep it super simple, one is active, one is passive. We're looking for mobility. Flexibility is cool and great and all, but it doesn't translate to performance, unless you're a gymnast or a yoga instructor. And that's, not throwing any shade, but that's just something that's very different. I had a previous client that I trained for probably a year before she moved, and she was a yoga instructor, and not to her own fault or anything like that. It's kind of one of those things where just human nature, people think, if you're able to do it, do it. And the whole ass to grass back squat, she was obviously super mobile. She could get her butt to fully touch the ground and keep her feet completely flat on the ground. And then she found me and was kind of mentioning how she was starting to get some back problems because she was trying to get a little bit stronger, but felt like one of those, I forget what they're called, but like the little blow up things that are in front of the car wash that are like waving back and forth, right? So for 6 months, we trained back squat. And I had her pause for 3 seconds in the bottom of back squat. Nothing sexy or profound about it, but over time, mentally, she got confident with it. She started getting strong in that bottom, what should be end range position. And it's just cool to see, like when that kind of connects for people, right? But for most of us on this call, flexibility is not something that like we were personally pursuing. It's more kind of as it relates to training for us, right? So some of the most common things that you'll see is stuff around the shoulders, stuff related to the spine, hips, and ankles. And the ankles are probably the quickest one that you can modify for exercises and still get away with some stuff. Shoulders and sometimes hips and definitely spine are a little bit more complicated. So you got to be smart with your training selection and stuff like that. Okay, so before, actually, no, we'll go through it first and then we'll kind of recap it at the end. So first one here, again, there's probably 50 different ways that people will say this variation of a test or what have you. Some people will call it like an open book, closed book. If you guys can see the image here, it's more so the goal of I want you guys to be able to kind of visualize and see the image versus all of the text and stuff like that. But excuse me. So the starting position, kind of starting like in this all fours position, hands down, and then you're going to take one hand behind your head, and then the goal, if you guys can see my cursor, is to take the hand that's behind the head, to take that elbow and be able to open up and point it directly towards the ceiling. So ideally, we would want to be able to see the hand down, elbow stacked on top of the wrist, shoulder stacked on top of the elbow, and then almost see like this nice straight line from shoulder to shoulder, and then the next elbow pointing up at the ceiling. You can do a variation of this also on a wall with your arms extended, with your legs kind of 90-90 and like this kind of kneeling yoga warrior pose type position, and then try to arc and bring your hand up and around in contact with the wall, and then your chest would end facing the wall. But in general, like this is something that's quick and easy, and typically, like you can see pretty quick if someone is limited in their T-spine, so their thoracic. We got the cervical spine, which is the head and neck. You got your thoracic, which is the majority, kind of the mid and upper back here. And then you got your lower lumbar there, right? So, for people that are very limited when it comes to this test, so obviously, if someone tested poorly, the elbow wouldn't raise very high or come near the ceiling at all. Or the other thing, you start to see people compensate. So, if hand position starts to change, or if their knee starts to float off the ground, or their spine and hip start to like open up, then we know that there's a limitation there, right? And it's for sure not a one day solve or fix. Ben talks a lot about breathing and posture, and I know that that can just kind of feel frustrating and not like a quick solve in the moment, but it is kind of like the very beginning basics. And then everything kind of on top of that is being mindful and then challenging the current range that you have, right? So if you're limited with your T-spine, chances are you probably either have or have previously had shoulder injuries or agitations or stuff like that as well. Okay. I can get my cursor to move here. Once again, a lot of text and everything else. The main part I just want you guys to pay attention to on this is the wall test, shoulder wall test. Kelly Starrett, I think some of you guys would recognize Kelly Starrett. He's been on the podcast with Ben before, and smart guy, talks a lot about mobility. And he previously, I took one of his courses, and he was talking about like the archetypes of the shoulder. So both the shoulder and the hip are a ball and socket joint, right? The scapula and the pelvis are obviously a little bit different. So as it relates to the, I'll just unshare my screen again for a quick second so you guys can see me. But like the scapula obviously has this ability of having upward rotation, being able to protract. So like if I'm reaching out to give you guys a handshake, like being able to protract and feeling like the serratus anterior or like the feather muscles, or what people will call like the boxer muscle, kind of engage. And then being able to retract, right? So that's a sign along with internal and external rotation at the shoulder, right? So this is a big one for a lot of people. I see people do shoulder press and stuff like that, and they'll lock out at the top, and then their arms are kind of finishing out here instead of being able to stack on top of their head, right? So, yeah, John, I'm sure that you assess that all the time, right? So, definitely a big one, an important one. And people, the very first place that people will compensate to try to achieve that is their low back. So, okay, let's go back in here so that we can look at the diagram again. So this is a wall test. You could perform it. It's still probably better to perform it standing. Don't pay too much attention to all of the descriptions and everything else, but the goal is for you to have each vertebrae, your entire back pressed up against the wall. That's probably going to mean that you need to have your feet roughly 4 to 6 inches off of the wall so that you can tuck your pelvis under, flatten your low back, and then everything from the base of your low back all the way up to your head and neck is pressed and molded up against the wall. And then your starting position is your arms up at 90 degrees. And then you're going to test internal and external rotation. So keep your back and all of that, like all of that fixed to the wall. And then try to internally rotate and bring your knuckles down towards the floor without bringing your elbows down. Like your elbows stay here. Bring the hands down. And ideally, we want to be able to see at least like 45 degrees is kind of the sweet spot of at least reaching that range. If you can go a little bit further, great. If you can go all the way, like I've never seen it, but if you could go all the way where your hands are touching the wall, you're probably someone that falls in the scale of being hypermobile. Like there's what's called the Brighton scale, which is for people that are you hear the term like double jointed or people that are like extremely mobile. And for people like that, tempo and pause training is some of the most important stuff to include in your training for sure. So internal coming down and then external, obviously going in the opposite direction. And if you're able to pass that 45 degree mark or a little bit further is great without, and you'll see it all the time. People will start to Their low back will start to peel off of the wall to go into kind of spinal extension to achieve like this superficial extension at the shoulder and kind of cheat and get into that position. It's kind of small, but it's this little part of the diagram right there, right? But pretty straightforward, right? If someone is lacking internal rotation at the shoulder, you think they're going to have a hard time doing dips? Probably. Probably going to experience some shoulder pain. Do you think that they have like full confident shoulder extension and arm swing when they're running? Probably not. So shorter stride, shorter swing of the arms, everything starts to shorten, get a little bit tighter. You know what I mean? So some of this stuff starts to stack up, right? So that's why where you're currently at, understand everyone on this call is not going to 100% cleanly pass all of these tests, right? So it's just a matter of be realistic and then doesn't mean you have to spend a ton of time, but you should do it frequently as far as multiple times a week to just, you know, put a little bit of salt and pepper in the areas that need a little bit more attention, right? Okay, so we covered T-spine, we covered shoulder. This one, apologies, gentlemen. I couldn't get a bigger diagram, but this is going to be the one for the hips and pelvis, which is called a Thomas test. Now, the gentleman in the neon highlighter color, yellow or green, whatever you want to call it, is the side that is doing it well, and then the gentleman in the blue is failing the test. Now, once again, there's multiple tests that you can do for testing mobility in your hips. A couple things right off the bat that should be kind of important as far as capability and function. Like, can you hold the bottom of a squat without holding on to a kettlebell or a barbell with weight on your back to kind of put you in that bottom position, right? If you have a hard time doing that, then something is probably a little bit tight, right? See people all the time where they go to squat with an empty bar and their squat looks a particular way and their chest is kind of really dumped forward. And then they got to put 135 on the bar to kind of push them down into position and then look like they have a pretty squat again, right? Anybody seen that? Anybody feel that way sometimes? I've been there. So, okay, let's go back to the diagram here. Like I said, I apologize. I wish this was a little bit better, but the Thomas test, two things. It's going to see if you're tight through your quad or if you have any type of hip impingement or limitation as it comes to bringing your knee up towards your chest. So it's both the leg that's bending and the leg, I guess you could call it the trail leg or the leg that stays long and extended. If you experience anything on either side, right? So if you're pulling your knee to your chest and you feel something tight in the crease of your hip, you know, maybe there's something that's going on or existing there. If your trail leg and your long leg are doing this, kind of floating out to the side or lifting up towards the ceiling, this is probably one of the most common ones, is when you start to go into hip flexion, this other hip has a hard time staying in extension. So do you think this guy is probably a world-class runner? Guarantees not being able to not go into full hip extension and hip flexion at the same time, right? So this still, once again, translates to being athletic, being able to run, being able to access full range of motion. And like I said, this is just one additional test. So ideally, if you do this, you could do this off the edge of your bed. I don't think too many of us have like massage tables laying around. Maybe some people do, but you could do this off the edge of your bed and be able to see pretty quickly if one side feels different or looks different than the other, if you're able to film it or something like that. So ideally, we're able to see the knee passing the hip crease here, and we're able to see this trail leg stay relaxed, straight, and nice and long and stay in hip extension here, right? If leg's flaring out to the side or your knee is coming up towards the ceiling, then we know we got something to address. And it's not always obvious, like I'll say that, right? So sometimes it can just be quad tightness, and other times it's a little bit more specific and hip related. Another common test. Sorry, I keep popping in and out, but I like to be able to see your guys' faces. But another test for your testing your external rotation at your pelvis is what's called a Faber test. So similarly, you could lay fully flat down on a bed or on the ground or wherever. Ground's probably not super comfortable, but somewhere where you can fully lay down, and then you would take one leg, bend it, and kind of bring it over the other side. And if that knee is very high towards the ceiling, first and foremost, you could test both sides, and you'll know very quickly if one side raises higher than the other, then you know there's some type of imbalance or something to spend a little bit extra time on. But that's just an additional one. If you guys want to look up a Faber test, you could do that on your own time as well. Excuse me. While I'm here, any questions from stuff that's come up to this point? Feel pretty good? Okay. We've got one more here. And then once again, not the best diagram in the world, but this would be another wall test to test your ankle mobility. So simple rule of thumb, taking a fist length from your fist up against the wall. So however big your fist is, roughly, I don't know, maybe 3-4 inches or so. Creating that amount of distance from the wall, then placing your foot right there, keeping your foot flat the entire time, and then driving your knee straight forward and trying to touch your knee to the wall without flaring your heel out, kicking the heel out, the foot collapsing or anything. The most common one is the heel is going to start to rise, right? So if you're able to touch your knee to the wall, that's great. Like, good news for you. You have a better time being able to train your quads. So I was someone, I tore everything in my ankle and shattered my fibula, and so I have limited dorsiflexion on my left ankle. And so training with lifters or any type of a wedge board to kind of artificially be able to create that ankle range motion, that's probably the quickest solve of all. I wouldn't even fully say solve, but it's one of the quickest ways that you can kind of, in a smart way, train around having limited ankle mobility. Typically, it's not plantar flexion where you're kind of pointing your toes away from you, where people have an issue. It's dorsiflexion for almost everybody, right? And then if you have weak feet or really flat feet, things like that, just making sure that you're wearing shoes that are correct for your specific for your body, right? So another smart and important one. Spending some time barefoot's also a good idea as well. So but it does kind of go all the way up the chain, right? Through training, whether if it's mobility, strength, whatever it is, like the term sorry, I keep having to clear my throat. From core to sleeve. So like your spine being the hub of everything, and then everything kind of shifting out to your arms and to your legs, right? Like if our spine is in a bad position or we have a weak core, we don't know how to breathe or brace properly, then everything else is going to look like mashed potatoes, right? So you gotta focus on that first. And then once again, it's like being smart with your exercise selection. And for just about all of us, at some point, one time or another, shoulder mobility becomes a thing, T-spine mobility becomes a thing. And it's not, it's, if we're all just being honest, it's not something that like is rah-rah, gets us excited and gets us going. What gets us going is being able to do the impressive stuff, to press something heavy over your head, or to bench press a good amount of weight, or deadlift, or whatever the thing is, right? But these are kind of the prerequisites, you know what I mean? So I'll pause for a second. I would love to hear anything from one of you gentlemen. Question, comment.
And we just finished the dance drop. I had really bad hip flexibility, and so a few years ago I did a hip opening program, and it was like one of these online ones. I can drop the link if anyone's interested. It was a yoga body or something, but it was a 21-day program. Really, it was sort of focused around 15 minutes a day, long hold. So it was sort of an isometric and a like a unilateral and a bilateral, 5 minute long holds, three different holds per night, targeting. And it was just crazy the different. I quite liked a lot of breathing, a lot of science of opening up the hips. And then I've just kept a lot of those in my mobility program, my sort of stretching program that I do every night. And it was crazy some of the sort of yoga positions that you'd go, well, I've never stretched that side in my life before, not kind of the normal stretches I do. And yeah, I had to pay sort of $50 or something for the program, but it was self-paced. You could access the videos, and that was really worthwhile for me because I didn't realize how bad my hips were. Because I was probably that pretty typical, like I could move in one direction. I can move forwards and backwards, and that's about it.
Toy soldier. Yeah.
Yep.
Love it. Yeah, good deal, man. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it's nobody loves to talk about it, but it's definitely a component, right? And it just kind of it is what it is. So I'll even say for you guys, even for me, my style of training has shifted dramatically from football to then CrossFit to then primarily jujitsu and just weightlifting. And I definitely notice a difference as far as upper body mobility, external rotation at the shoulder, being able to press overhead, It is it's very different now than when it was when I was just playing football. Different demands, different stressors on my body. And if we don't pay attention to the little things that are kind of specific to us, then something's going to come up. The other thing too is like not having conflicting goals, right? And I think pretty much everybody on this call, obviously everybody has good coaches and everything else, but it wouldn't be a great idea for me to be like, I want to run a marathon and I also want to train program-wise to be as strong as humanly possible right now. Those are two very conflicting things, right? So oftentimes when we're pursuing strength, it also comes with a level of stiffness. Like it's the body's bracing defense mechanism in a way to be able to hold positions and stay there. And it's stiffness is not a bad thing until you are limited by your plane of motion. If you can't express a particular movement pain-free and target the muscle that you're training, that's an issue, right? Like that needs to be something that's addressed. And I know, Eric, we've had a few challenges with like some stuff that's going on with the elbow and in the hand and stuff like that. So it can be tough. And sometimes training with different instruments, like I was back squatting with a safety squat bar for quite a while. John, I don't know if your gym has a safety squat bar or something like that, but when we can't, get our hand back there, yeah, sometimes you just work with what you got. Yeah, but again, if it's in our ability to be able to access a certain piece of equipment, then it can be worthwhile for sure.
I did belt squats when we didn't have a safety bar squat before I
There
got
you
to
go.
back squats.
There you go. Love it. Sweet. Cool. Do you guys feel like you have a little bit of a better understanding as it relates to some of the different terms for strength? Because some of them can be interchangeable, right? Like, we think of, for me, I always immediately go to one rep max back squat when I think of strength for myself. Like that's one that kind of comes up for me, or the big three are kind of an obvious one. But for most of us on this call, it's like we want to be as strong as realistically possible. We want to be athletic, have the full range of motion as far as mobility is concerned. And if that's still currently a pursuit, then the game is just understanding your current scenario and how you're going to take a step towards it, right? Like something that I pick up on very quickly, if I have a client that has a very hard time resting, this might be harsh, but this is honest. They're probably not very strong. Like if you are not comfortable with long rest periods, you're not consistently going back to the first slide with the four world's strongest men and stuff like that. Like the mountain, those guys, they're resting 7, 8 minutes between some of their sets. And they do that for a living, and that's not realistic for a lot of us. So it's like, where do we land in the middle? And typically that's why kind of right around that 3 minute mark. And for all of us, it's not scientifically and specifically going to be 3 minutes for all of us. Like mentally, we could be ready to go after the first 45 seconds, but physiologically, it's probably a good idea. 2.5 minutes, especially if, having that little bit of extra rest goes a long way, especially, if you're doing multiple sets and kind of getting towards the tail end of those last sets. So if I could share anything as it relates to strength for you guys, is the goal for all of us is not to spend our entire life in the gym. I don't think so, right? We want to reap the benefits of being strong, being mobile, being around for a long time and doing all the things. But as it relates to strength, continuing to strip away the layers of if there's any mental component on a particular exercise, and this is kind of rightfully so, right? John, for you, the shoulder, I'm sure it's something very top of mind when it comes to certain exercises, right?
Yeah, but I do my best to push through it.
Yeah. And that's fair, but it's always, for me, I always mentally picture it as a checklist. It's like, how do I set up? How do I stabilize? How do I initiate? and what is my specific goal for the exercise, right? So am I trying to build my pecs for the next 3 months, or am I trying to get my bench press as strong as possible? Two very different things, right? Programming would probably look a little bit different, but also mentally it's something different to focus on of, okay, let me reach this end range, feel the good stretch, and then make sure that I'm contracting my pec and I'm not extending my arms first. That is a very different thought process than, okay, this is getting close to my Werner max. Stay as stable as possible all the way down, change direction without moving anywhere else, and lock it out. Very different, right?
So, and I've been doing a lot of tempo work this year, so.
Good. Love it. Sweet. Well, before we finish, boys, is there anything else? Questions? Feel pretty good?
Thank you.
Apologies on that the accent for today. Cool. Well, if you gentlemen have nothing else, the one thing I would leave you with is test those mobility exercises if you can, right? So the T-spine, I'm drawing a blank now, the shoulder wall test, the Thomas test for your hips, and the wall test for your ankles. Some of us might already know right off the gate, and you know we got some tight ankles. So, and that's all right. But just train smart. All right, gentlemen. I appreciate you jumping on. It's good to see you. I'll see you.